It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy s***. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than an angry rant before your morning coffee. Which says a lot because I love a good angry rant, but there you go. Let's see. You could join the chat room by going davincomedy.com. Click on live broadcast.
Shut up and entertain me.
What the heck's going on? Why is it playing again?
Holy
shit. Oh my God. What is going on?
It's amazing.
I don't know why it's playing again. It's not now. That was weird.
It's a little over-exuberant.
A little technical difficulty. Anyway, go to davincomedy.com, click on live broadcast. I am your host with the most telling you, you don't have to go from where you came from. You can stay wherever the hell you are. I don't give a shit. Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by somebody who did not want to come to where I am, but stayed where the hell she is. Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe is coming from where he is to be with us now, and then he will go back to where he came from. Joe will be here later on. On the show, School of Fools, as a principal who wore blackface, returns after a one-year self-imposed sabbatical. Turbulent Air, as an Italian airline, apologizes for using an impersonator in blackface of President Barack Obama. The GOP darkens Colin Kaepernick's skin in fundraising ads. White people get charged more for a music festival in Detroit. We'll talk to Bagel Boss Guy because, you know what, I felt like being silly. And we'll do some Scam Busters with Ann Jackson. We got a bunch other stuff to get to. But, Pip, what's going on? Why aren't you with us?
Well, I decided to not bless you with my bubonic plague and bring a pox upon your home. So I think I just have a summer cold.
Sounds stuffy.
Yeah, you know, Claritin is not completely doing it, so I think it's a cold.
I feel like you were out, though, the other night, like having a good time, hanging out late.
I was. I was out at a show, and I started to not feel good there. And then I lost my voice, but I thought it was a little bit, and I thought it was yelling over the crowd. But then as the evening progressed, I started, like, getting all sneezy and snuffly, and then it was much worse the next day. So that's where I probably inflamed the crowd with my germs, and then came home to really percolate.
Well, you know what? You were due to miss a show. I think you were here for like a month straight, so you were due. We had a good run.
Yeah, I kept driving up, and I said, you know what, this is bullshit. Let me get good and sick.
It's a smart tactic.
Yeah, you know, it's good working from the home studio because I have actually doubled down on the amount of cat boxes that are in my studio here.
Really?
Yeah, there's two cat boxes in this room.
Your cat littering in stereo.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, Maui runs through and does her business when I'm with you, and who knows what cast of characters might be running through this evening.
At your house?
Yes. Mr. Helix might stop by and use the box. Who knows? Anything could happen.
Well, we love when Mr. Helix poops in a box. It's one of our favorite things.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, when I put on the Dominatrix outfit and make him do it, that's the best part.
We should post pictures on the Facebook page.
That would scare everybody in humanity. That's worse than the foot-licking video.
I like that one. So, so for a month, I have promised that you would tell the folks how to sign into the chat room. And for a month, like a married woman, you have disappointed. But, but I guess it is that one time in the month where you will live up to expectations and you will tell everybody how to sign into the Den Pen. Am I correct?
I'm doing the technological version of putting out tonight, yes.
The technological version of putting out tonight. All right.
Yes.
So put out, woman. How do they sign into the Den Pen? How do they get themselves a free account and become somebody?
Well, you know what? This is like, it's easy to choose what you want to do. You can go to davinsden.com, click on live broadcast, and there's a little box in the corner that says sign up. So it will let you either, you can log in anonymously, you just click go, and it'll assign you some bot name, and you're in there to chat, it's just you're going to be anonymous. Or you can fill in a temporary name just for the night, and then click go, and then your name will pop up with whatever you choose for the evening. But if you want this to be a regular feature that you could just pop on your computer or your phone and go right in, all you have to do is you click the third one, sign up, and then you put in the username you'd like to have forever. You can always change it, I suppose, but the username that you want. It asks you to put in your password that you choose twice, write it down someplace, and then you fill in your email. So eventually, if you have a problem figuring out who the hell did I sign in as, you can go to your email and you can ask for them to help you get back in there. But so fill in your email, and then you click sign up. And then, boom, you're in the chat room with your new name.
There you go.
And then you could go back there.
Now, this is something your brother had wanted to do. Were you able to help him?
I did this myself. I didn't go over to see him because I was starting to get the bubonic plague here.
Ah, I got you.
And I don't want to get him sick now. But if he's listening to the instructions, it's easy to pop in. I think what he's been doing is, because as our avid listeners know, Pimp Helix has had an amputation and is wheeling his way around. So I think what he's been doing is putting on the show and then going and lying down on the bed, so he's not signing in.
Oh, well, I mean, he could still be signed in and lie on the bed. We don't, you know, we don't have demands of a proper posture while one listens to the show.
No, he's in the chat. It's just that he's not sitting there to typity type.
We actually encourage people to lie down in bed while they listen to the show.
Yes, and bring toys with you.
I would appreciate that. And tell us in the chat what exactly you're doing.
Yeah, that would be interesting for me. I can report on your doings as the show progresses.
I think they should do that.
Yeah, I think so. So it's really easy to pop in the chat room if you don't want anybody to know your super secret spy email. Just go in and go in anonymous.
Wow! I just heard audio of what somebody was doing in our chat room, as they were listening to you.
I think so. I heard some of that, and it sounded exciting.
It did sound very exciting. You have that effect.
I started to touch myself.
I haven't stopped. It's what happens when it's what happens when you're not here and Joe's late. I have free run of myself.
I know. Anything could be happening while we're doing the show.
When I developed this show, my full intention was to do it naked, and now finally that dream comes true.
I'm really glad that you haven't acted on that while I've been there, though, because that might be distracting for Joe.
I think Joe would enjoy it.
You really think so?
I think he would like put on his, you know, this, that, the other thing. But deep down, I think he would enjoy it.
I think he would probably like forget about it after a while.
No, I mean, I think it would inspire him to do things. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Joe's girl, you hear this?
I've been very busy this week. There's a bunch of things I want to talk about. Some of the stuff I did want to get Joe here for it. I don't know why, but I thought it might be fun. So I'll talk about.
What about the chopped liver?
No, well, of course you. But I mean, you know, I'm used to having you for the first part of the show. But you know,
yeah.
We were teased that we might get Joe to actually be part of the full show, but that was just a tease. A lie.
Pants on fire.
So here's something. Have you ever watched sumo wrestling?
Not really, just like little snips that are in movies perhaps, but no.
I'm watching we're at the sushi place on Saturday night. And they got like
Wait. There's naked sumo butt close to raw fish. I'm not liking this, how this is starting.
It's on TV. They're not sumo wrestling there.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It's a small place. You can't fit two of them in there.
Sorry, go ahead. I was scared.
So they got the sumo wrestling on the TV. They got some type of a championship, and they explain what a Yokozuna is and a Rikishi, and they explain what all this stuff is, and they explain why
Are those different kinds of sushi rolls?
No, I'm talking about the sumo wrestling.
I know.
And they explain why they throw the salt. But I've never really watched that much sumo wrestling before. These sumo wrestlers, very obese.
Yeah.
Very obese. Can't be healthy. They're big, though, and they're powerful, obviously. But I had two observations of the sumo wrestling, and it won't take very long. My favorite part of the sumo wrestling was there was this one guy, you know, before they would start, you know, they get in their little corners and they stand there and everything. Before he would start, he would slap the bottom of his belly. I don't know if that was an intimidation factor, but I just enjoyed watching the ripples of him slapping the bottom of his belly.
You know, when I do that, you never have the same reaction, though.
Because I don't have enough food to placate you when that happens. But I got the feeling like they're slapping the belly, like, get in my belly, like it's dinner time. I mean, I know they're about the sumo wrestler, but it's like, boom, he's slapping the bottom of the belly. I got the biggest belly with the least muscles. Bring it, motherfucker. I really enjoyed that for some reason. I don't know why. Like, there's no walk of my life before this where it would have occurred to me to slap my belly before an altercation. But I feel like now, if somebody starts shit with me, first move is going to be take off the shirt, which is the prerequisite for every time guys are going to fight, you got to take the shirt off, which I never take my shirt off, but that is the prerequisite move. So I will take off the shirt for the thing of just slapping my belly, and I'm going to give them the crazy eye. Like, I'm slapping my belly. I want them to think there's a possibility I'm going to eat them. I think you would be intimidated. Like, if you're about to throw down with some guy, he takes off his shirt, he slaps his belly, has them crazy eyes, and starts licking his lips. I think you're going to turn tail.
Well, that is going to terrify me.
Yeah, I think it would terrify a lot of people.
It's going to scare the hell out of me.
Which is really what I want to go for, because I really don't want to have a fight. But if I can get somebody to run away from the mere slapping of my belly, I kind of dig that.
I think that if that's the move to scare them away, well, you know what? Mission accomplished.
Yeah, and you know what? You don't slap like on the front of your tum-tum. You don't slap like above the belly button. It's like to the side of the belly button, like around that level off to one of your sides. so you really get a nice jiggle. So, like, I guess we're like obliques would be if they were to go all the way down for like a 6 or 8 pack, which no sumo has to worry about. I guess that's where you'd be slapping. Like, you get underneath. Like, you get, you know how like the belly has an overhang? If you're eating a good amount of food, you got that little shed. You really get up underneath that shed and really get a nice ripple. That is going to be my move from now on. I just might go out in public and start slapping my belly. That's how much I like that move.
Well, if I'm gonna my move to say bring it is to slap the upper part of my chest above the boobs with both hands like an ape. That means bring it, motherfucker.
That would scare me if you did that. That would scare me. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because it's very primate, and I think it's universal frightening if a woman slaps herself any place and looks at you with a crazy eye.
Bring it, motherfucker. I think crazy eye is key. But yeah, definitely gotta. You definitely gotta hit yourself in some way. The other thing I noticed about sumo wrestlers is they have very long boobs.
that's after they give birth to their children. You can't help that.
No, I mean, like, they're not working boobs, but they don't have pecs. I mean, they have like the worst set of tits you would ever see on a woman. That's what they're sporting around, and I respect the fact that these guys have completely awful physiques, and they're walking around barely wearing nothing. There's a certain amount of confidence with that I don't have.
I don't think that if I had, like, you know, was in this day and age, because there's all these guys on TV and stuff, that the thing is to have the six-pack and to be all buff. And I think that as a man, I would feel intimidated if I had just the tiniest bit of chunk, you know? I think that I would be keeping my shirt on just because, you know, I don't have, like, fully ripped. And it's like, that's new. Guys used to be able to, you know, feel confident about taking off their shirts. Some guys still do, no matter what they look like.
And they shouldn't. They should not.
They should not. No, I know. There's lots of...
You know how a lot of people will tell you the human body is beautiful?
Not always.
What?
Not always.
No, I will tell you most times it's awful, and it should be covered. I'm not going to lie to you people. Most of the people right now listening to this show put a tent on that circus. I'm one of them. I mean, listen, if you're hot, yeah, please, go without clothing. Dress as a sumo wrestler. But for the rest of us, no. Although there was a study that said women prefer dad bods over ripped guys, which I call bullshit.
No, you know what? I agree, because guys who have, like, those really ripped abs and, like, you know, like the gym monkeys, they spend way too much time working out, and they're all about themselves and, like, you know, I'm only allowed 3 egg whites a day, and it's just, they, you know, talk about their diet and how many, you know, reps of whatever they did. Oh, it's a quad day. Shut up, you know.
I think another reason is women like dad bods, because then the women can let themselves go and get the mom bod.
Well, you can just be like a human, and you're allowed to eat and. Yeah.
I got to tell you, not a fan of the human. So, no, be ripped. Be ripped. I mean, I'm not ripped. I'm trying, you know, but it's not working.
That's not true. That's not true. Because I noticed when we were walking around that your stance has changed. You're more triangular on top than you ever were the whole time I've known you.
Triangular on top. What does that mean? Have a pointy head?
No.
You saw me in my Klan hat. Did you see me in my Klan hat? I meant to keep that in the hotel room. Damn it.
Yeah. You know what? But we were sneaking around following you guys all the time. And, you know, we put those secret cameras in your hotel room. So, no, I saw it. And it's very unfortunate. I've never seen a more self-loathing Jew.
Well, you know, I will tell you, there is something to be said for walking on the strip in Vegas with a tiki torch, a hat, and saying Jews will not replace us. It was very liberating.
I bet it was. I bet it worked out a whole lot of childhood angst.
And you know what? A little secret was? There's guys dressed as Avengers, which I took pictures of. The Avengers were very scared of the lone Jewish KKK guy. I will tell you that. Not approached by a single Avenger as I am marching down the street saying Jews will not replace us.
Well, you know what? In the whole pantheon of crazy, which scares people off, yeah, that's going to work for me.
I was actually chanting blood and soil and air conditioning.
Why?
Well, it was very hot. I mean, yes, I'm about blood and soil, but I want to be cool while I'm being about blood and soil. There's no reason to schwitz.
But why soil?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's just what you chant when you have a tiki torch. That's what they chant blood and soil, like it's the fatherland.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was chanting blood and soil because I'm all about the fatherland, but I do want some cold blowing air on me.
You know what? Being a racist is hard, thirsty work. You do need to be comfortable.
That's a lot easier than it used to be. You'd be surprised.
It's harder than it used to be?
No, I'm saying it's easier than it used to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, much more acceptable. Much more acceptable.
Well, acceptable, yes. It's definitely coming out of the underground clubs, and it's more of a main feature in, you know, any place you go now. I mean, in Chili's, you can see tiki torch marchers.
I insist on it. I say, can I sit outside on the patio with the tiki torches? I feel more comfortable here.
Although, you know, the Mexican people cooking in the back, not as comfortable with you.
You know what I will not get to Chili's? I will not get that fajita bullshit. I just want a goddamn American burger when I go to the Chili's.
And you're going to get their special spit burger.
No. I'll tell you another thing. Line cooks will not replace us either. How do you like them apples?
What won't replace
us? Line cooks.
Oh, no. Line cooks are definitely the leaders of the future.
I believe so. So I was looking more angular. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, I guess. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, that's the ideal male physique, is that you're going to have, you know, you want to have the shoulders and you want to have a thinner midsection. And it's like, so I mean, like, because I'm slower than you, I was watching you walk ahead of me a lot, and I went, huh, you know what? He has changed, because you're more like, you know, more Jersey Shore bod than you ever were before.
Me and the sitch.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's a good thing. I mean, you're not exactly the situation, but I can see the difference in the working out is made.
I appreciate that. I'm fat sitch. I'm like situation now. I'm not young sitch. No, I'm not young drug addled sitch. I'm fat. I like food sitch, like the current sitch who's in the joint. That's what I am. I'm current
you're
sitch,
like
baby.
Postmodern sitch.
I am postmodern sitch. I am working my way towards dad bod. That's what I am working towards.
Towards it?
I'm
no.
working. I don't.
You're pulling away from it.
Well, no. Before I was grandpa bod. So, I don't know. Fucking working out. Yeah. Well, I don't even know what the. Oh, so that was it with sumo wrestling. So I told you last week I was going to do the skydiving.
Yes. How did that work out?
I did it. It's the indoor skydiving, which is nice because you don't have all the worry of fucking dying, which is a nice plus.
Yeah, the not having to sign off a release saying that, you know, you absolve them of any responsibility for your death is always good.
No. You still sign that.
Oh, silly me.
No, you still have to sign that. Death is still a possibility. I just did not feel it was as much of a possibility.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, all right. So, I guess it's this company called iFly. They're all over the place. I went to the one in Paramus, New Jersey. They're all over the place. They're fun. So, the whole, you're in like a cylinder. So you're in like a glass cylinder, a plexiglass cylinder, that goes pretty high, and you stand, for lack of, on like tight netting. Like, it's, that's, for lack of a better word, it's just like tight netting because it's not solid. So the air blows up. A lot of air blows up. So that's how this shit works. So they give you a flight suit with handles. So you got, like, handles on your legs, handles on your back. There's all sorts of handles. You're going to be handled. They give you earplugs. What?
You're going to need the handles that are on your body?
No, I'll explain. I don't need the handles on my body. But you're in there with somebody from iFly.
Oh.
So they give you earplugs. They give you, like a do-rag for your hair. They give you goggles, and they give you a helmet. So you watch a short video, and you go over, like, a few simple hand signals, which I immediately forgot. I mean, literally, there's, like, three signals, and I forgot two-thirds of them. I'm like, how much do I suck at this? It wasn't like they show me, like, a 20-minute video, an hour-long video. It's like a five-minute video. There's three hand signals. The instructor goes over it, and I forgot them. How much do I suck?
You know what? Sometimes nerves, they'll say something, and you're like, what was that? But you don't want to sound like an idiot because they just said it, so you don't say it. And then you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I probably should have said something. Like, I remembered, like, a couple of them. Like, you know, I remembered for, like, legs straight and for bent legs. I did not remember for straight arms. So, yeah, which is a problem. But I'll explain. So you go in as a group, but you fly one at a time with one of the instructors. So you go to the edge of the chamber, and the wind's blowing. The wind doesn't stop blowing. And you lean forward, then the instructor grabs you, and you float. Like, you ever see the Mission Impossible, like the first Mission Impossible? I think it was the first one, where he climbs down from, like, he's, like, on a string, and he's, like, hovering above?
I think so.
It's an iconic picture in the movies. That's essentially what you're doing. You're hovering above, but there's no string.
Oh, I know what you mean, yeah.
So you're, like, flying like Superman, but you have to keep balance. You have to keep your arms out a certain way, your legs in a certain way. Any type of movement, one way or the other, affects whether you're going to be stable or not.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's fairly simple to keep stable if you follow the instructions you're giving. The worst part, because you have to have your chin up, so you don't want to be looking down. You have your chin up, your arms out, your legs out, you're floating. The instructor's, like, got his hands by you, controlling you. Sometimes he lets you go. But the worst part is this huge stream of air rushing up your nose.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's like when you go underneath underwater, and the water rushes up your nose.
Yeah. Now I know. I'm just, that's so uncomfortable.
Yes, and I don't like going underwater. Very often, you'll see me in the water, and my hair will be perfectly dry. I'm not really worried about my dew per se. I just don't like having my head underwater.
Yeah. Me neither.
You know, if I'm going down on somebody, I bring a fucking snorkel. Just because I want to be able to breathe in all situations.
That's not a bad... You should patent that.
Who says I haven't?
Yeah, you know, and I think that you should call it Muff Diver.
I like that, Muff Diver. You know, I've never had a complaint with that. Where the women do get upset is when I have the swim flippers and the water wings. When I bring that to bed, they think it's a little much.
No, the water wings might be cute.
They don't like it. They don't like it. Maybe because it makes a fart noise as it rubs against their legs as I'm doing whatever I'm doing.
Definitely not good. No, you're right.
Yeah.
No, abort.
But, you know, listen, if you want to be with me, I need to take certain precautions. Because, you know what? People get very excited. It can be very moist, and I don't want to drown.
Forget about dental dams. Just bring your snorkel.
Yes. So, you feel the air rush up your nose. So you go for about 1 minute. You're in the chamber for like a minute, and the guy, you know, we went with a guy who happens to be a comic. He's actually a funny comic. He sent me a video, so I'm trying to get him some work. But the guy who was our instructor, and he was pretty good. I liked him. Eric is his name. I was watching the group that went before us, and it seemed like that group was getting manhandled a lot. Like, there was constantly grabbing of all the different handles, like, on the suits and everything. I don't know if that group was just very unstable, or this guy was handsy, or I don't know what the situation was, but people were being thrown around like fucking luggage.
They probably enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they did. No, they did enjoy it. Eric, I felt, was not... really that way at all, although he almost got kicked in the face by a little kid, because that's what, like, you can panic a little bit. Like, once you start being out of control, you start freaking out, because you're not really well versed in this, because you've never done it before, so you're trying to figure out how to get back to stable, and if you get to unstable, next thing you know, you're fucking about to take a nosedive, and nobody wants to nosedive, because people are watching and filming the shit.
Right.
I did learn a way to become quickly unstable is to, while you have your hands out in front of you and your legs behind you, to give the, in both hands, the rock devil horns. I found that was a quick way to become unstable.
That, well, first of all, you know, throwing metal is usually, a sign that you're somewhat unstable anyway.
No.
Apparently that's... But apparently that's going to be the thing that's going to send you diving in a bad way.
Well, but here's the thing, man. Because, like, the girl who I was talking to earlier, she, like, made a comment. Like, it was just like, it was like the type of joke. I go, uh-oh, I'm going to tell HR on you. Like, she's like, oh, I can't believe I said that. I'm like, no, I'm going to have to tell HR on you. I'm not going to say what she said or what her name was, because I don't want her to get in trouble for anything. And then I told her, I go, it's okay. I say terrible things for a living. It's fine. It's-
yeah.
But she's like, I can't believe I said that. I go, I don't give a shit. It's funny. Who cares? But she's like egging me on while she's controlling the wind. So I flashed the devil horns. Ah, completely went out of whack. That I 30 seconds into my flight experience, I was not well versed enough for the devil horns.
were the alarms going off?
No, I mean, I just quickly, I needed help from Eric to get myself back to the fucking proper position, because I fucked up. I almost went careening into the side cylinder, but we maintained.
He was waiting for you to do something stupid so he could get handsy.
Yes, he was like a predator. That's what he was.
Poor guy.
He was the Jeff Epstein of iFly, and I was his prey.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. He was very nice. And I am not anywhere. I am nobody's prey. So, but so you go for a minute, and then you go again after everybody else goes. So, and the second time you go, which is also a minute, if you pay $10 extra, they will take you much higher in the cylinder for the last 30 seconds. But you can't do that yourself. You are now your keeper's. The instructors, you are now his luggage.
Well, you know what you're making me think of. Did you ever see Willy Wonka, the Chocolate Factory, the original one?
I did.
They kind of bring you into the tube for the fizzy lifting drinks.
Right.
And, you know, the bubbles would make them go higher and higher until they're making their way up to the fan.
Yes.
In the ceiling. So this is what I'm picturing. The extra money, that's what you're getting.
No, I mean, it's kind of like that. Joe is settling in. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
So, yeah, so...
Hi,
so,
hey, Pip.
So he's bringing me higher and higher. He brought me up four times. It's a good time. It's
nice.
A good time. Yeah, but again, and I did feel a little motion sickness on that, because, like, you're going up and quick, and, like, at one point I go, I get it, but it's fun. Like, if you do it for... I went indoor skydiving.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
It is.
Was that that place down in past the Tappan Zee?
It's the same company. That's in Westchester. Uh-huh. I went in Paramus, New Jersey. Same company.
Oh, that's cool. Was it good?
Yeah, it was real good.
Nice.
Except when I flashed the metal horns and I went out of control.
Asshole.
Fuck you. It was for metal. Go fuck yourself. You come from Don Jameson's show and you dare to give me shit for flashing metal horns? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
get
shame
out.
On me. Blasphemous. Yes, blasphemous.
Exactly. All right. But no, it was cool. And the guy
they ruined the aerodynamics, though.
I did. That's the problem. I ruined the aerodynamics. You're
devil horns.
That's exactly what I did, except, like, the girl girl who was like running the wind, she fucking got a kick out of it.
She got the
look at me playing for an audience of one. I suck. But I would totally recommend it. We're gonna go again. Because if you go like a second time, you could do it much cheaper. But yeah, I fly. It's good. And our instructor was a comic, and I'm going to put him on some shows because he's funny. But it's good. Yeah, I like the whole, like you feel like you're floating. That's really what it is.
What does it run?
Oh, what was it? I feel like the first time it was like $89 a person. It's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go back and you can get packages that are cheaper.
I never thought it would be cheap for the reason that that's like a heavy nut that you have to run if you're running that business where, you know, I mean, how many people, you know, all that stuff and how many people
and
are going to be coming.
And who's the competition?
But still.
The competition is an airplane. I'm not fucking doing that.
I understand that. But, you know, your foot tribe, I mean, people will come, but you got to, you know, you got to charge
you
a decent
buck. Do you have back issues? And shoulder issue? Have you ever had a separated shoulder?
No.
You're under 300 pounds. You're well
yes.
under 300. You could do it.
Yeah.
You should.
I've always passed that place because, you know, like I said, you were the one here. When I come home from the show and come up from the show, I pass the one that's over in...
Yonkers?
Yeah, Yonkers. Right. Yeah, down there. Yeah, I'm always looking like, pretty good. To
you
check
know,
that out someday.
I'm getting to the age... Well, that wasn't even my idea. It was the wife's idea. But you get to the age, you go, fuck it. Let's try some different shit.
Right.
I can either regress and become like, get off my lawn and not leave my basement, which is 90% of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could do some cool shit.
Right.
So I totally recommend that. So now that Joe's here, we'll get into some of the other stuff I had that I wanted to talk about. So I went to the Rat concert on Friday night. Why are you laughing, Joe?
Because the picture that you showed of Stephen Piercy on stage, he looks like me at the end of Ann Jackson. We're about to do the reads after
the end of the show. What do you want me to tell you? He was about to do the Portobello Banquet.
It's like everybody's doing it. He's like round and round.
Yeah, it was before round and round. He did Portobello. He said he breaks into the Portobello Banquet. Then he does round and round. Yeah. Everybody goes home happy.
He looked very unenthused.
I don't know. We'll get all
right, okay.
We'll get
I'm just
it.
I'm just saying.
So here's the thing. I was sitting home on Friday night. I wasn't planning on doing anything.
Really? That was a spur of the moment?
Yeah. I was tired. I wasn't planning on doing anything.
Right.
But my friend asked me if I want to see them for free. It's hard to pass up free.
Price is good.
Yeah. But it's an hour from my house. I knew that.
You're a deal breaker. You're a comic.
But here's the thing. I'm also at the age of, but I'm on the couch. You know, I'm at that age, like when I was younger, free concert, fuck yeah, because that's how I saw Van Halen, that's how I saw Skid Row, I saw them for free
last minute
because I was a teen when high school they gave
away. God, that's I'm home, man. Yeah,
that's what I was doing. I'm like, listen, and I'd seen them in October, so I'm like, if anybody else wants,
and
to
those,
go,
those some of those shows have been debacles too.
One of the shows, the one in Long Island, was
right,
debacle.
Right.
But and I saw them the bounce back show,
right,
where I said it was pretty good, but I was like, I'm sitting on my couch. It's comfortable. There's going to be a ball game. Let me relax. But I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Free is free. I like the band. Why not go?
Right.
No reason not to go. I knew tickets weren't selling well. When anytime they're giving away free tickets, it's a good clue.
Poor Rat.
Well, no, not poor. Think about it, though. They were here in Jersey 20 minutes from that venue in October,
right,
which is when I saw them. They were just in Westchester last week with Ace Frehley.
Right.
And I was actually thinking about going to that show because to see Ace and Rat was $25.
It's not bad.
No, that's a good fucking show.
Yeah.
And they didn't sell well there because they were playing a Civic Center. I don't know what the fuck Rat and Ace are thinking about playing a Civic Center, but it's fun to pretend. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to bring 20 Fragile Skies to fill to sell.
Hey, if our phone rang.
Yeah, right, that's what it is. You've got to bring in the opening.
Mike's waiting for that phone to ring. Yeah.
Sure. I mean... But I'm like, you know what? Let me go. And the Bergen Pack, I think it seats like 1,300. Cool venue.
Right.
So our tickets, which were free. So if you're looking at the stage, you're on the right. So stage right if you're looking at
right,
it.
Yeah.
11 rows back. We had the whole
Gary Rock and Roll, my bass player from Sexy Susan, was at that gig too.
Oh, last Friday?
Yeah. He was there.
What did he say?
I didn't talk to him about it, but he had the pictures. Like you saw what you put on Facebook, and he was like, when you scroll down, I go, oh, Gary Rock and Roll is there.
No, I don't have a cool nickname like Gary does, but, you know.
Sorry.
So, but, I mean, 11 rows back, not fucking bad.
Not bad at all, no.
No.
Pretty good.
Now, I thought I was going to be able to sit during the show. I was really in a sitting mood. Sitting was what I wanted to do. I had a very lovely seat, but apparently everybody needs to fucking stand
now,
up.
Now, we had this conversation before when I was at the Ghost concert and stuff like that. The same, I wanted, you know, the guy's got to stand. And you're like, you know what? If you want to just sit, go home. Stay home.
Well, I was, go back to where you came from, as the president would say, but in a rock and roll sense. But I stood.
He meant the couch.
What?
He meant the couch.
Yes. Bunny. But the president said that when he was talking to the four congresswomen, he meant the couch. Mm. And get in the kitchen and cook me something, too, while you're at it. But I'm like, all right, I'm going to stand. Now, here's the thing. They were just in this area. They did Long Island at the end of September. They did Montclair, New Jersey, end of September, beginning of October. They came back. It didn't sell well. Now, when I saw them, as Joe alluded to, there was a debacle. Stephen Piercy had a bad knee, needed knee surgery, which he got. He said had too much painkillers. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the reports from the show was he was passed out in the drum riser. And Juan Crucier.
Drum riser's a comfy.
I'll take your word for it.
Not in the middle of a show.
Well, that's where he was. And the bassist, Juan Crucier, was doing all the lead singing.
Right.
I saw them on the show.
He's singing with him passed out.
What are you going to do? I mean, but the reviews were terrible. Later on, they apologized.
How could they be good? Yeah. Piercy passed out for 20 minutes.
I think it was longer.
Yeah, really?
but I saw the bounce back show.
Right.
I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah.
So they hit the stage, and the drums are just so fucking loud.
Right.
And I go to my friend. I'm no expert on music like you. I go to my friend. I go, I think the mix is bad. They got the mix bad. You can't hear Stephen Piercy. She goes, maybe it's intentional. She goes there a lot, and I guess she's seen a lot of concerts there, and the mix isn't bad. I don't know. Then I read another review, who somebody was at the Yonkers show.
Yeah.
Same fucking thing. The drums were drowning out the guitars and the singing. So maybe they're covering shit up.
Or either that, or they need a. But you want to know something? Maybe they need a new sound guy. You know, I mean, sometimes like at Jones Beach, the sound is. Because the ocean brings the wind in and brings the wind, and it's a very tough venue to mix. Matter of fact, I saw I think it was when I went to see Sammy Hagar in a Circle, and I walked past the sound desk and I see the sound guy, and I go, "Very good job!" And I go, "I don't know if you're aware of this, but Mix Magazine has rated this the toughest venue in the business to mix." And
this is a conversation you had.
Yeah, that's why I was the sound guy. Yeah, I go, mix is the toughest venue in the business to mix.
What were your words for the beer vendor?
Usually cursing because they're ripping me off $17 for a bud.
They're not ripping you. They're not making you buy it by gunpoint, stupid. Yeah. You're doing that on your own.
Yeah.
I'm sure the mix guy appreciated your support.
He did. He did.
Of course. Because nobody talks to the mix guy.
Yeah, no. I'm
a big fan of your work. Love what you
do. He did a great job, man. I'm right. Yeah, you know.
Listen, when Pip and I saw Aerosmith a couple of weeks ago, I thought the sound was tremendous.
Yeah.
Would you agree, Pip?
Yes, absolutely.
This sound, not so much.
Right.
I mean, the drums are Pete. I think the guy's name is Pete Holmes, the drummer. I mean, he's good, but it's just drumming everything out. So I'm like thinking, you know what? Maybe it's on purpose. Maybe it's not. But, you know, maybe it's 62 years of age. Stephen Piercy can't do it every show.
Yeah, that's 62 years, man. It's, you know, it's rough to go on tour with, you know. Sometimes, you know.
So those are like the two original members that are left with the band.
Right.
So a lot of people, you know how the rock fans are. If you're not the original members, they kind of shit on you. It is kind of interesting. Juan Crucier, as I said last time when I saw them in end of September, beginning of October, still doing those 80s moves.
I saw those 80s moves, and it's like,
well,
all right.
We'll get to that. Right. But he's got his own little moves and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like weird. I'm like, geez, that seems cheesy. But maybe I'm just being jaded because that was the shit. And maybe it's like still kind of cool and I'm just being a jaded dick about it. Because now, I mean, for the 90s, we just had all the musicians fucking standing there looking down and that sucked a bag of balls. So, I mean, at least Juan's putting on a fucking show and making silly faces and like, you know, making it seem like the bass is his cock and it's attached to him the way, you know, a good string instrument musician can do it. Maybe I'm the dick. I don't know. what do you think?
I don't know. You know, it could be like cheesy now or whatever, but we were talking about Tool today on Don Jameson's show where they've been putting out, like, they've got a new album coming out and they've been putting stuff out and then they've been taking it off the internet and they're doing this. And I even added, I go, yeah, and you go to see Tool, the guy's behind the drum riser, we won't look at anybody, you know.
That sucks.
So it's like, you know, but he goes, Tool's unbelievable. So, I mean, but they put you through shit.
All right, so I'll give it up for Juan. So if Piercy can't sing every night anymore. He never had a great voice. He had a very distinct
voice. His voice, well, the thing about his voice.
I like their music, obviously.
I like their music, too. But the funny thing is even the first Rat album, which was tremendous, you could hear all the effects on his voice.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was so overprocessed. So I always wondered what it would sound live because they have to bring all that outboard
gear. There's a lot more, like a lot of the older musicians, a lot more talk singing than there is singing now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, should they stop touring? I don't know. They're not drawing, at least not here.
Well, because here in this area, rock is dead. You have to go.
No, they just came around too many times.
Well, that's true, too.
Maybe. I mean, they weren't around for a good several years. Come back every couple of years, I think you'll do a lot better.
If you come back every 2 years, you'll be fine. If you came back too soon. Those guys were here late last year. They were here, I think.
That's when I saw them.
Right. So okay. So that's okay. Like, so that's proof in point.
So now you said he kind of felt like he wasn't enthused. I gotta tell you, I mean, people dug the show. I wasn't overly impressed this time. Now again, maybe because I just saw them a few months ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're good. I mean, he knows the words to the songs as best as I can tell.
There was a thing we used to say in Rotgut and stuff like that. If we were doing a gig that looked like it sucked, and it did suck, it's like, we'll just go up there, call him off, and pack our shit and split. And it looked, to me, it looked like he was just calling him off.
No, I mean, there was moments he was having fun with the fans.
Right.
I mean, he said fuck a bunch of times, so that's how you know. That's what all these guys do. It's like, fuck, yeah. Give me a fuck, yeah.
Yeah, she can, yeah, right.
Yeah, we're all fucking. It's a whole bunch of fucking. I'll give him that.
Funny.
I don't know, but here's the interesting. So I did post this video, and it's on the Davin's Dead Facebook page. It was, I think it was from Back for More. It was one of the last songs,
right,
which is off the Out of the Cellar album, which is the album Joe was talking about,
their first
album and their biggest album. And they lined up. So you had all at the front of the stage. You had the blonde guitarist, who I don't know his name. You had Juan Crucier, the bassist. You had Stephen Piercy, the lead singer, and Jordan Ziff, who's the 29-year-old guitarist. And they're all doing that 80s thing where you go back and forth, up and down with your guitar.
Yeah.
It's synchronized. You don't see shit like that anymore.
But here's the deal. I gave it a really, but here's the deal.
They didn't do that all show. It wasn't something they went to every song.
So it's cool, and I'll tell you why. If it was during the 90s, it's 2019 now, and it's almost like nostalgia. So if you don't want to, it's like a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
You know, like a Rock of Ages thing. To, you know, like the nostalgia that you
would
have.
You don't see that anymore.
No. So it's kind of cool. It's like one tune. It's cool.
Yeah, and Stephen Piercy's got his hair going.
Piercy could have been into it more.
It's the end of the night.
Yeah.
They played it. They were doing an hour or 20 more.
It just looked like, you know, when you miss a, you miss a Mr. Davin. Yeah, he's there, but he's just going to more.
You get the point. It happens. And now in Montclair, they did extra round and round. Like, they played it a little bit more.
Right.
This time they just did once, but they didn't run off and make us do the fucking encore thing.
Right.
So I posted that video. It was about a 28-second snippet. I put it on Instagram, #rat. For several days, if you #rat on their things, it was a top fucking post.
Oh, cool.
My little thing. Yeah, Jordan Ziff, who's the guitarist now, actually posted it.
Oh, cool.
He put, which is cool. And it had, like, last time I checked, over 3,000 views. And their fans loved it. So I'm glad. And I'm one of their fans, too.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they love it. Stephen Piercy actually went onto my page and fucking liked it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought so.
That's cool.
So that's my biggest Instagram moment.
There you go.
Stupid Instagram career. But it's cool. That's a cool little video. It's 28 seconds. It's on the Davin's Dead Facebook page.
Yeah.
If you don't know what 80s rock looked like, well, one of the check that video, because every band had something similar to that.
Yeah.
It was a big fucking thing, and you don't see that type of choreography anymore.
No.
So it's kind of cool. It's a throwback. The fans dug it. You know, I don't know if I would see them again. I've seen them twice. Maybe. I don't know. Probably too much too soon. Probably it also hurts after I was blown away by fucking Aerosmith in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was, you know, I always say that was one of the best times I saw them. Maybe I just fucking like the band too much.
Right.
But they got Pip's praise.
Well, so, you know, it's like with Iron Maiden's playing next week. And I'm like, should I? If I can afford it. And I saw Maiden. The first time I saw Maiden was a couple years. That's when I had the stomach flu.
Yes.
And I went to see them. Then I saw them 2 years, almost 3 years ago when they did the somewhere Book of Souls, which was a phenomenal album. And now when they don't have an album to push, they'll do a lot of the hits and stuff like that. So I think I might go.
I'm going to see Sebastian Bach.
Yeah,
and I'm going to see Tom Kiefer too. Got those tickets for $16.50.
Oh, really? That's going to be a good show.
Yeah,
you know.
Pip, what were you going to say?
Oh no, I was just going to say that I absolutely did think that was the best time I saw Aerosmith.
There you go. All right, so this is a Joe will enjoy this one. It's usually you at this time giving me a traffic report.
Sorry.
Joe will enjoy this one. See, I think sometimes Joe thinks I just tangle with the right, but I tangle with the left too. That's the great thing about being me. I have no home to go back to, as the president would say. Go back to where you came from. I don't know where I came, Mr. President. Nobody will have me. So I tangled with the left. I had the audacity on a friend's Facebook page to say, because somebody put something about Pelosi. I said, yeah, I think she's doing a good job. But I think she should move on with the impeachment already. I know that's something that you would think would wrangle up the left, me saying she should get on with the impeachment already.
Right.
If you listen to Pelosi's statements, she wasn't always there. But more in the past couple of months, she has said that she feels he's done things that are impeachable.
Mm-hmm.
So my argument is, if you think he's done things that are impeachable, if you've seen all the evidence, you know you're not going to get the vote in the Senate, but that's regardless. Your job is to do, your job of the Congress and the Senate is to have oversight of the executive branch. If you think he did things that are impeachable, you should bring up that for a vote.
Mm-hmm.
I got attacked for that radical statement on the left. You and Joe Sahi just fucking crossed.
From the left.
From the left. From the I got attacked for this fucking radical
shit. I could just see me and my guy. Well, you've got one. Ho, 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 ho. Hold on. Everybody get coffee. We don't need to go. They've got this.
They'll take care of this communist socialist. They're eating their own. So here's some of the things. Here's some of the things that I was said. Let's see. I was called a social media warrior with a pitchfork. Davin here, like every other white male who is obsessed with stalking Pelosi with that hag better impeach, because that's often what I say. I often say that hag better impeach. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on my soapbox on this show and said those words, that hag better impeach.
I remember counseling you about that.
You felt that way all the time. I wouldn't need to come here. It's like the fun of my week, arguing with two liberals. Yeah,
but I haven't.
I understand.
So he commands will be the first people to fuck off and not give a shit and blame her again when it doesn't work and it backfires and we lose the House and all those crucial seats that were so hard to win in the first place. That white men didn't lift a finger to help us win. Like you're going to work extra hard to help to get everything back when we lose it all. Ha ha! Right, you are you better be pleasing to me type of voter, and you don't care about anyone else, and you're happy to target a woman when you aren't pleased.
Wow! You can't. That party has got real problems. I'm telling you
well,
right now.
Well, so does your party, Joe. If you don't think your party's got problems, then you're fucking missing the tip.
Not as much as
oh,
this.
Oh, yes, it does. Actually, I had this conversation with Kevin Israel, who used to be a Republican. I don't know if he still is. He might be an independent. Worked in the Republican Party in New Jersey. And we were talking about something yesterday. And he this is what he said. He goes, the Republicans are the Republicans are cowards, and the Democrats are crazy. And I go, yeah, I can't argue with you there. I got no argument. Yeah, I think you're right on both accounts. I think the Republicans are cowards, and I think the Democrats are crazy. So I know you're very excited about the left, and I know there's this element of the Voltron of pussy hats.
But they're crazy.
Yes. But don't think your party's don't think the Republicans got their shit together, my friend.
There are instances, but
there's a lot of fucking instances that your guy does. A lot of fucking. There's all a bunch of cowards. The shit that they said before Trump was president, and now how they lick his ass. Yuck. Please, you will not find a bigger bunch than cowards. At least you were on the Trump train from the beginning.
Yeah.
Trump is a xenophobe and a racist and a bigot. No, no. Trump's not a racist. He's not a xenophobe. Not a big... No, because you need re-election. So stop. I'm talking about the Democrats. Don't you fucking jump on board and say your party doesn't have problems. I know the Democrats got problems. The Democrats are going to fuck with their little pussy hat Voltron, little fucking marching, are going to alienate every fucking white guy that dares to have an opinion. Not even attacking a
woman. But
the funny thing is...
Why is Biden leaning? That's the funny thing. Biden in the polls, in the Democratic polls, has got the highest rating.
Yes, and he's losing because people feel he's got the best chance of winning, and he's getting the African-American vote right now, mm-hmm. whereas a lot of them are not getting the African-American vote. And to be honest, if you're a Democrat, you better get the African-American vote. That's a big part of the constituency. But yeah, it's felt that if Biden runs, he's going to take back Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, maybe Florida. That's the feel. Sleepy Joe. Whatever. Stop with the fucking nicknames, please. Trump could use some fucking
Sleepy
sleep.
Joe.
Trump could use some fucking sleep. Please. We'd all be happy if he fucking slept a little bit more. You know.
Love him.
Of course you do.
I love him.
Of course you do. But, so Pip, what do you think of this? What do you think of me getting attacked as a white man who hates women?
I think that the whole party has broken down. I mean, it's insane. It really makes me sad and a little anxious because every time somebody comes up with a decent idea or a rallying cry, then a bunch of people run around making themselves look ridiculous by, you know, wearing alien suits and pussy hats and you know, then making themselves look ridiculous and attacking, you know, like you said, eating their own.
I've often said only the Democrats could figure out a way to lose to this fucking president. A president who's never gotten 50% approval rating in any fucking poll. It just never happened before.
Clinton did.
What?
Clinton figured out a way to lose to Trump.
She did. Right, but you could say, well, people, it was a vote against Hillary. You know, people didn't know what Donald Trump was. Mm. People have had 2+ years of Donald Trump. He's very unpopular. You know, it fluctuates between 38 and 45% when in every fucking poll is popular. Guys never got to 50%. But the Democrats can figure out a way to fucking lose to them. And this is why. This is the type of shit that they pull. Oh, you hate women. Shut the fuck up. I hate you. You're a woman. But it's fucking mind blowing.
It has, and the funny thing is, here's where they're so blind to a reality that they just, oh, you hate women. You mentioned the whole thing was for her to, if she felt that compassionate about impeach.
Not compassionate. She feels like he's done things to warrant it.
Okay, fine. We'll go with that. Feels that he has done things to warrant it. To move, you know, that why is she sitting on her hands to move to impeach? One person kind of got it where they're speculating, well, it's not good in election year. Sometimes they get more popular if you move to impeach.
You got to put politics aside.
Yeah, right. Okay. Good.
Mitch McConnell plays politics. I'm saying, if you believe he's guilty of shit, and I do now, because I believe, because the way he's ignoring all the subpoenas, I believe that's grounds for impeachment. Forget about the Mueller shit. The way he ignores court orders and subpoenas, I think that's grounds for impeachment. But she's got to rally, and that's what she's commented on. She feels that that's grounds for impeachment.
But and you're calling her out for not acting on it.
Yes.
You have never, ever, 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 in the statement that you put, it is because she's a woman.
No.
It's not there in any of the context. It is not implied. It is not directed to. But meanwhile, these people, they only see or read what they want to read. And they come back with this whole thing, oh, well, you're a middle-aged white man and blah, blah. It has.
Well, they didn't throw my age in there. But
still, you're all typical white man. But
yeah.
Typical white man suggesting that the head of the Democratic Party should move against a conservative Republican.
But he's not a conservative. He's not a conservative. He's not a conservative. There's no more conservatives in the Republican Party. I can tell you what conservatism stood for. They're not conservative. Republican, yes.
All right. So to the Republican Party, a white man saying that an impeachment should be made against the Republican president. How does this woman-hating white man fit into there? It's putting a round hole in a square peg.
Their
it's
whole
ridiculous.
Argument was that she's smarter than everybody, this, that, the other thing. Listen, there's plenty of smart people in her party that think they should go forward.
Then come back and say that she she's a smart woman and she knows how to play a chess game or something like that.
But my argument was, don't play the fucking chess. They're like, we're going to lose it all. My argument was, don't be, if you're doing what Mitch McConnell does, which is play politics, then now we have two sides of the same fucking coin. What I'm saying is, if you believe, and her recent statements, you know, since May forward, she believes Donald Trump has done things that are impeachable. If that's what you believe, because she was not always there. But, you know, before the Mueller report, she was not there. She was always, let's wait and see what the Mueller report was. Maxine Waters was always impeached. Nancy Pelosi was not always impeached. I was not always impeached. But if Nancy Pelosi is at that point, then you got to do it. Now, the political argument is, well, but the reason they got the House was a lot of moderates voted for Democrats, voted out Republicans. All right. My argument would be you got to make the case while you have to impeach. Forget about what it looks like politically. You know you're not going to pass it in the Senate, but you can fucking stand on principle and you can lay out your case. Go, you can forget about Mueller. Go, listen, he is breaking down the way our government runs. The executive, we have the duty of oversight of the executive branch. The courts and the Congress have demanded some. And he ignores every single one. This is an impeachable offense. It's much more easy to make that argument. Go, listen, every citizen in this country could not ignore a subpoena from Congress or for the court. Court tells you to fucking do something, Joe. You're going to do it. You can't ignore it. Congress calls you to testify. You're going to do it. Nobody is above it. That's the case. That's what my case was. Forget about the Mueller shit. This shit. You got to testify. Your people have to testify. Them's the rules. That's the way the country works. That's the argument I would make. But for that, I'm a white male who thinks Nancy Pelosi is a hag and wants to see her lose and this, that, the other thing.
You never said that.
That's just a wrong-headed argument.
You never said that. I could sit here and we can have a discussion. We could have a debate. We can have a yelling match on most of the points in here. But it's pertaining to the topic, pertaining to the subject, not pertaining to who you are or how you feel. You don't feel that way, and you never ever even brought it up in your presentation of your opinion.
The first thing I said is she's doing a good job, but she needs to move further along with the impeachment. I said she's doing a good. I think Nancy Pelosi has done a tremendous job. I think Donald Trump realizes that. I think Donald Trump realizes he's never had a political adversary in his whole political career, starting from 2015 to now, whether they be Republican or Democrat, who's as savvy and as smart as Nancy Pelosi. He knows that. I think he respects her because he knows that she's always right there. You want to say one step ahead, want to say even, I don't want to have that argument, but she is certainly a worthy opponent. And the Democrats didn't realize this. The Democrats, you know, they were going to challenge her to be Speaker of the House. But Nancy Pelosi has done very well. So my argument is, if you think he's done things that are impeachable, and now I do because of this court stuff and the Congress stuff, if that is what you think, as she said in statements, you need to go forward.
All right. Let me ask your opinion on something, okay?
We're about to get yelled at.
No, not really. Okay. Not really. It's your opinion. I'm not sitting here. Well, let me tell you, and I'm just curious about something. Strategically, and they don't – look, the law is the law, but politically and strategically, where you've got a year and 3 months to the election, where do you concentrate on? Do you concentrate on getting your party straightened out? You have the Magnificent Three or whatever the fuck they're called now.
The squad.
You've got this radical contingent that does not really respect her, that has been challenging her. Do you concentrate on that, or you concentrate on the impeachment? What do you do?
Well, I think what you really do, I think you could do a couple of things. I think you concentrate on legislation. I think that's the most important thing. Now, they've put forward a bunch of bills. They passed a bunch of bills in the House that Mitch McConnell will not even fucking bring up to Senate to a vote. I would be bringing that shit up every fucking day. Go, listen, we are trying to do the job that we got elected and voted in for. Here's the Democrats can't sell shit. That's the problem with the Democrats. They can't sell shit. They can't sell why Trump should be impeached. They're fucking botching all this shit. I think you could bring him up for impeachment. And on the case that I made, not the Mueller stuff. On the case that I made, I think you could bring him up on impeachment. I think you could do that. I think you could pass legislation at the same time. And I think you could have all the candidates do what they're doing. I think you could do multiple things at once. Do I know if it hurts them politically or helps them? I don't know. But I will tell you this. Mitch McConnell is nothing but a political fucking actor, and he's damaged our democracy. And if Pelosi's going to take the same type of things, like I said there, I don't want two sides of the same coin. I want somebody to stand up on principle, like Justin Amash did, the former Republican congressman who left the Republican Party, is now an independent. He goes, I can't anymore. I'm leaving. I can't do it. Because he did it on fucking principle. And it might not be politically expedient, but he says, I can't do this anymore. So all I'm saying is, if Nancy Pelosi believes that Donald Trump has done impeachable offenses, which is what she has said in the past couple of months, see if you can get the votes in the House and fucking go forward. Stand on fucking principle. Because at the end of the day, when this is all done, 20 years, when people look back on this shit, they're going to look at the people who stood on principle and who went along to get along on both parties. That's the way history looks at people. History looks at the people who make the tough call and stand on principle, and they might not always be right or wrong, but they do what they think is best for the country. You know, say what you want about McCain, but he did that a lot. He did the tough thing, which he felt was best for the country. Now, oftentimes I didn't agree with John McCain and what he was doing that he felt was best for the country. But you knew John McCain up until fucking Sarah Palin, which was a political move.
That was pushed on him. That was pushed on him.
That was a political move.
I think even history after the facts, I didn't want her.
No, he
was an asshole.
He should have gone with Lieberman, but he knew the South wasn't going to vote for a Jew. He knew that.
Well, Lieberman was very good, but Lieberman is about exciting as a wet fart.
That's who McCain wanted.
He was very good, though.
The point is, history looks kindly on the John McCains, the Ted Kennedys, the people. Forget about all the history and the fucking woman drowning and shit. Listen. I'm talking about politically.
I know. And like I said, this is the way I because we could have a major league argument right now, but the nuts and bolts thing.
I'm not pro-leaving somebody in the car to drown. But politically, those people...
Duly noted.
But politically, those people are looked upon well. And we are seeing somebody like Lindsey Graham embarrass himself daily. If you look at the shit Lindsey Graham said about Donald Trump before he was president and what he says now, if you can hear him from it, he has to get out from underneath Trump's ample buttocks and hear about what he fucking says now. You know, this can't be the same fucking guy. The guy is going to be looked at as a fucking clown. That's how history dictates it. So I'm saying Nancy Pelosi, so you don't look like a fucking clown, if you think he's impeachable, if you think he's done things that are worthy of impeachment, go for it. That's all. And for that, I got attacked by the crazy left. Usually I get attacked by the crazy right. This time was on the crazy left.
I think it's unfortunate that somebody was pulling up the misogyny card on you, because it has nothing to do with
that. Oh, it wasn't just one. It was a couple white males, too, pulling up against
me. But I don't understand. But the whole... You weren't playing the misogyny card. Nothing in your statement was playing the misogyny card. Which you were pointing out that if she wants to do this and if she's compassionate in her beliefs, she should carry this out. You complimented her in the beginning of your salutation. There's nothing there, or dissertation. There was nothing there misogynistic at all.
Well, that's what happens when you deal with the fucking left. And I deal with the right. That's what I say. That's why when you our party, I go, trust me, your party's fucked. You just don't realize it yet. But when Trump is gone, you're going to see how fucked your party is. The Democrats have a perfect opportunity to take shit over, but being Democrats, they're fucking it up. I just know they're fucked up. I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, like I said, my personal opinion on that is to put the impeachment aside and get the party back in line. I mean, she's already had it out with Cortez. You know,
no, there is no party. You know, you've talked about this with the Republican Party. When you have a Big Ten party, you got all these different voices. Listen, Boehner had a fucking deal with it. Ryan had a deal. You know, Boehner had the Freedom Caucus. That's why he fucking resigned. He was trying to do deals with Obama. Boehner and Obama are the only ones who've ever fucking cut spending in the past like 20 years. That was Boehner and Obama. You know, Boehner was trying to get shit in line, but he had the Freedom Caucus, which is bigger than the squad that was saying outrageous shit and causing problems. Every party has it. It's fine. They're important voices. It's how you handle it. They're important. Listen, I don't care what AOC says. You know, sometimes in some of the hearings, people like to say shit about her. If you listen to her in the hearings, she's fucking really, really good. She's really, if you get, like I say with Elizabeth Warren, if you get past all the bullshit that they feed at you, if you just watch this person work, she's really good. She asks really fucking on-point questions a lot of times. So, yeah, I get all the hate for AOC. I get that. But she's necessary. You know, just like some of the people in the Freedom Caucus are necessary. They're necessary. You can't get them in line. You just got to figure shit out, which is why nobody wants to, why it's hard to be in charge of the Congress in the
middle. Well, like I said, you know my thoughts. We're not even going to go there. We don't have the time. But just, you know, as sitting on the bleachers watching, my opinion is that, you know, if Pelosi's either got to do, she's got two things. She's up to her ass. She's got two things to do. It's the impeachment or reining in her party. Me personally, I think, and I've heard the pundits talk, and I agree with them, that she really needs to concentrate on reining her party in.
No, you know what? The energy always comes from the fringes. That Donald Trump is a fringe candidate. The energy came from that and propelled him into office. The energy on the left is coming from the AOCs and the Omars and all that. Now, you know, you need that type of... Now, unfortunately, I saw that in the debates, some far-left shit. I'm going, you can't run on that shit. You can't, you can't run on free health care for illegal immigrants. But whether it's good financially or not, and there's arguments for that, you can't run on that.
But don't you feel, as the party leader, she should have, you know, call people in and go, you know, call some of the candidates and listen, you can't have this on the platform. You can't have this on the platform.
Who's been able to do that? Boehner couldn't do it. Ryan couldn't do it. Nobody could fucking do it. They're individuals. They're voted. Listen, AOC comes from a very far left district. She's doing what she was voted in to do. That's fine. You know, there's people on the far right, like Louis Gohmert. He says outrageous shit. You know, he's doing what he was voted in to do. It is what it is. You know, listen, the right wants to make those four, the squad, the face of the Democrats, which you've been doing this, other people, I go, they're not the face of it. The face right now is Pelosi, and once we get a candidate, that will be the face of the party. They're not. They're attractive, they're young, they're full of energy, they're radical, they make good sound bites.
And they're doing a lot of damage to the party.
I don't think so.
I think they are.
We'll see.
The optics, you know, Dav, we've had this conversation so many times, Pippa, I don't know if you agree, but, and like I said, even on with Trump and stuff like that, where you guys called me on the carpet, and I've conceded that optics
right.
is a lot.
And among Republicans, he's got 90% approval. With all those, now the Republican Party's smaller than when he started, but he's very popular with the Republican Party with all the fucking shitty things he does. Very popular. So it doesn't really matter. It matters to people in the middle like me.
But does it matter to Democrats?
That's the key.
And you know what? And like I
listen,
said,
whoever
and
the
look,
Democrats,
we all listen to the show.
Whoever
all,
the Democrats run, the right is going
to
call socialist.
But still, we all try to keep informed. To be informed, we listen to all the shows, CNN and this, that, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the pundits on either side of the aisle have, you know, said that. It's like, you know, but how is it going to register with the Democratic voters? Are you going to have people that have been in the middle of the fence seeing that this party is too radical? I don't like Trump. I don't care for him. But the other option is a little bit too far left for me. And that's what a lot of the pundits have been saying. To compound that with impeachment procedures this close to an election, you know, time goes by fast. We're talking about a year and four months, but it goes quick.
Yeah,
and we're going to be in an election cycle before you know it.
I think you make the law an order argument, which is something that Trump ran on and the Republicans ran on. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. That's how I would sell it. They ran on law and order. These are the laws of the country. This is how the country works. Whether you agree with why we're subpoenaing him or not is irrelevant. It is our duty. It is our job to do it. You cannot ignore it. You cannot ignore the – that's how I would do it.
Now, the thing about it is it's like, oh, I do it. And then it might be will you just – he won the election. Just drop it and concentrate on a platform that's meaningful. Keep the radical fringe in line. You know, it's a very thin line to walk on this.
There's 38 to 42% that you're never going to convince. That's fine. You're not going to get them. You're never going to vote for anybody running against Trump on the left. It's not going to happen. Joe Biden, who will probably do more for you personally, you know, as far as economically for you, who's not a radical, you would never vote for him. He's probably the most moderate guy running that has a serious chance. You'd never vote for him.
Isn't that a problem?
No, because people vote for teams. People vote for teams.
All right.
That's the way we are.
Because I'm just saying the way things are steering. No,
you get the people in between. Remember, a lot of people who voted for Obama voted for Trump. I don't think they're really happy with it. That's what you're trying to get back. He won by 77,000 votes over three states. You can get that back. And they, you know, some say Biden's the best shot at that. I don't know if that's the case. You can get it back. Now you also run the risk, and then I want to move on to a hell gig. Mm-hmm. You also listen, I also think it's very possible that Donald Trump loses by 5 million in the popular vote and still gets reelected. I think that's very possible too. So, but the thing that gives me, emboldens me the most is everybody, every Donald Trump supporter like yourself thinks he's going to win in a landslide, and I just go yes, because that's what all the Hillary people thought too. And you know what happened? A lot of them didn't come out to fucking vote because they didn't think it mattered. So please think he's going to win in a landslide. Spread it amongst your friends, because that's what fucking happened to Hillary. A lot of Democrats stayed home because this is in the bag. I fucking vote. I sent in my first absentee ballot ever because I knew this was election. But a lot of Democrats stayed home. So I hope a lot of Trump supporters.
No. It was surprising because let me tell you something. I was on Anthony Cumia's election show that night, and from
the CNN of internet radio,
hysterical. But for three diehard good sir, Anthony, Mick DiPaolo, and myself to go, you know, we're just not even expecting Trump to win, and then we start seeing the result, and you had to see where our jaws dropped.
The Democrats.
I never saw Nick smile before.
Listen, a couple of weeks ago, you said Trump is going to win in a landslide, and I say to you, good. Think that. Tell all your Republican friends that Trump is going to win in a landslide. Please do it, because I know what overconfidence does. I fucking saw it in 2016. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump didn't think he could win. I thought he could fucking win. I was stunned that he win, but it was because I know Americans are batshit. I know Americans are fame whores, and you know Donald Trump was a celebrity. I get it. He can't win on that again though. Now he's got a record. So. But anyway, so yeah, I got attacked by the left the way I usually get attacked by the right. Not the first time I've been attacked by the left, but that's why I think it's funny. Oh, you're a radical left. Am I? Because the left fucking hates me too.
But it's very frustrating to me because it's not even in the top. You never even said, you know, it's like they're looking for chum and you say one thing.
They do that. That's okay. I get attacked for bullshit. I get attacked for bullshit from the right that, you know, I'm automatically a libtard or whatever the fuck. I'm a, you know, because it's easy to attack me as a socialist, which is funny.
But the thing about it is, you know, one of the guys that I see, you know, like, there were days when I see what you post and I'm like, well, yeah, I don't have the time, you know. But
call that a good day on Facebook.
But the thing about it is that I look at everything and I there's bullet points on what you would write where I'm going to, you know, call you on this and we're going to debate about this and debate about that. But there's nothing in
it's
there.
Okay. Listen, I get attacked.
They're out of their mind.
I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. It's just funny, though.
Well, it proves your point that they're crazy.
I know. Well, it was actually Kevin's point. I was just agreeing. Yeah, they're fucking crazy. Yeah. And the Republicans are cowards. Yeah, he's 100% right. The Republicans are a bunch of cowardice pussies who have no fucking spine, who are just worried about getting reelected, and the Democrats are so fucking crazy about being true blue and, you know, purity fucking test that they're going to blow it the way only a Democrat could fucking blow it.
Well, the one thing that gets me, and regardless if I'm a Republican or a Democrat, is everything has been based. And I would say probably going into the 2016 election, maybe a little bit beforehand, where everything is based on the next election. It's not based on where we're going as a country. It's based on the next election.
Correct.
So that and, you know, I will concede that's been a frustrating
thing. Well, Donald Trump ran on term limits. That was one of the things that he ran on. He thought we should have term limits. He doesn't feel that way about his position anymore, but he felt that way about Senate and Congress, and I agreed with Donald Trump on that. You know who wouldn't fucking put that up to a vote? Mitch McConnell.
Of course. Look, don't get me wrong. Mitch McConnell's a scumbag.
Yes, okay? He is.
And
he's done more to damage the democracy in the past 20 years than any other politician.
I mean, the one thing that really sealed the deal for me. I mean, look, I never liked him. You just don't like turtles. Yeah,
you're anti-turtle.
But the whole thing when they had the whole Zariga act with the funding and stuff like that, and he said, "Well, John Stewart needs to relax a little bit." He was just there with that gentleman that just recently passed away, telling him that people are dying every day, and we need to work on this immediately. And Mitch McConnell's like, what's John Stewart's, you know, what's the big deal with John Stewart? Which he's a scumbag. I do not like
Mitch McConnell will go down in history as one of the people that fucking destroyed this democracy. And trust me, this democracy, the way it is now, with the ignoring of subpoenas and the ignoring of laws like the Hatch Act, whatever act that you want to think that we now, the law and order guy, where we just ignore that shit. It's not going to fucking get better. It's not like if the Democrats win, they're all of a sudden going to go back. Well, now we're going to get back to normal. No, it just gets pushed further and further along. And the next Republican, and pretty soon, you don't have fucking laws. So, you know, that's where we are. That's why I fucking laugh when people go, no, let Trump do whatever the fuck he wants. Let him run the country. You know what? What comes around goes around. You know, you didn't like when Barack Obama used executive orders, which I get, which you're allowed to do. Trump has used more executive orders more than anybody. And then the next guy's going to use them more. It doesn't get fucking better unless somebody has the balls to stop it. And that's what I was saying. I want Nancy Pelosi to stand on integrity. If she thinks Donald Trump has done impeachable things, which I now believe, as well, if that's what she sincerely thinks, rally the troops, bring it. You know it's going to die in the Senate, but fucking stick it on them. Stick it on them. Go, this is what he did. This is our laws. You tried not showing up for court when you get called. See what happens. Nobody is above the law. You make that argument. And I guarantee you, there would be Republicans, not anybody in office, but there would be Republicans at home. They might not say, go, she's got a point. The laws are the laws. If you get called in, even if you think it's bullshit, I can't not show up to court. If I get called into court, it's the law. That's how I would run it. But nobody's asking me, unfortunately.
Because
I'm a white male who thinks Nancy Pelosi's a hag and won't do everything I fucking demand. But whatever. All right. So I had a hell gig.
Yeah.
All right. I don't see that being so funny.
No, it's just the way we go into the
whole
thing. Well. You know, we go into the... Talking to Mike, you asshole. We go into this whole political thing, a political debate. I had a hell gig.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Hold on. Let me play the little music. Haven't played this in a while. Haven't had a hell gig.
Welcome to Hell Gigs.
You know what would have made that more badass, Joe?
What?
If you were floating and gave the devil horns while you recorded that. Would have made it even
more. To crash.
What?
You just want him to crash.
I most certainly do. So last week I had a show at an Air Force base.
Oh, yes, yes.
Look at you rubbing your little fucking
I'm
ass.
Not rubbing, no, because we discussed
like a
it.
Fucking jackal.
No, we discussed it after the show last week. So, yeah, I'm good.
It also shares it with an Army base. Actually, I did a show at that Army base a decade ago. Got a little plaque over there from right. It. Did now, that the show I did a decade ago was at night inside.
Mm-hmm.
This show was during the day, outside for families. Everything you don't want in a gig.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I'm told the colonel who is hiring us is very conservative. Not necessarily politically conservative, although we happen to be, but just very conservative in nature.
Right.
You know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
So I'm thinking I'll keep political stuff to a minimum. I won't do anything sexually graphic. Since they're kids, I won't really curse.
Mm-hmm.
I only have to do 20 minutes. Not a big deal. So I meet the colonel and the other person running it, another person on the base. Very nice. Extremely nice men. So I talk about some of the places I've been overseas. They've been to some of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're because that's their fucking job.
Go there.
So we're talking about I'm talking to the colonel who once had comedians he hired at his base in Alaska, and he felt they burned him because one of the female comedians said on stage she used to sell her body for cocaine. I mean, I don't know if that's really terrible or not, but the audience loved the joke. Him, not so much.
Well, yeah, he's conservative.
Yeah, but she didn't say that she sold it to him.
Good point, Pip. Where were you? So we're talking about wrestling him, and he says, like, everybody knows he's a big wrestling fan. His favorite wrestler is the Iron Sheik, who's an old wrestler from the 80s.
The Iron Sheik.
Yes. He was afraid to admit that because of the outrageous thing the Iron Sheik says on Twitter. Now he's just a fucking crazy old man on Twitter and says ridiculous things. But he didn't want to admit that to people because he didn't want to raise questions and get shit. So, whatever. So there's no kids present, as it turns out. The headliner who hired me and did a few minutes before me said ass a few times.
Right.
Okay. So one of the first things I talked about was my time in Korea. I asked if any of them had been there, and a bunch had been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Air Force base. Of course they had. So I said that sometimes they didn't put us up on the base. One time they put us up in a hooker hotel, which I've talked about on this show.
Right.
So I said that. And this is a true story. So I did the joke that we got in very late, and the only place that was open was the Hooker Hotel's restaurant. I ordered the catch of the day. It was syphilis. That's the joke.
Right.
That's the right reaction, Pip. Good for you, girl.
Nothing?
No, got a decent laugh.
Oh, okay. You didn't say that. I don't know.
No, I was enjoying Pip's laugh.
Okay.
So anyway, so got a decent laugh. So, but it's the type of show, and you know the show, where you really can't get any type of rhythm. Every joke is a fight for your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have them, you get
joke
a good laugh.
Joke for joke, gotta go joke for joke.
Yeah. You know, you really can't get any rhythm. So a few minutes later, the headliner is mouthing something to me from the side of where I'm performing. I thought he said, slow down. And you know this. It throws a comic when you're in the middle of your show. Somebody in a position,
and
of
you don't
throat.
Know what the hell they're telling you.
Yeah, you don't know what.
Slow down. It could be stretch, which you really don't want to hear. Yeah,
but anytime there's a position of somebody in a position of authority telling you shit in the middle of your show,
right?
It's not good. First of all, it breaks the illusion that this is all spontaneous. We're having this moment together because now I got to talk to the boss,
right?
You know, so he's not telling me to slow down. He's telling me to what did he tell me to like go easy, you know, like to take it easy. Joe's looking at me cross-eyed again.
What are you supposed to do? Sing a James Taylor song?
Pretty much. He's like telling me to tone it down. And here's the thing. I really had no idea why. You know, like when you're doing shows and you tell a joke and the audience recoils, you could feel it, you could see it, you could hear it, you go, okay, there's the line.
You know, there's an 8'10 warthog 35 feet away that could cut a village apart in about 13 seconds?
Yes.
So easy?
Yes! You're absolutely right! Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But it's like, but at least when you're doing like one of these shows, go, oh, the audience didn't like that. All right, fucking edit. Now I know what the line is.
But the audience is enjoying it.
Right. So I have no idea what's going on. So I said shit a couple times because there was no kids, and this is a military base. And shit is something you hear on cable. You can hear the word shit on cable. It's not fucking outrageous. I didn't say motherfucker. I didn't say cocksucker. Shit. I don't think shit is that bad at this point.
No.
I mean,
no.
Our president says more outrageous things on his daily Twitter feed. Shit all countries, grab a pussy. You know, relax. I think as a society, we've gotten over the word sugar, honey, iced tea. But apparently not.
Delete, bleep that.
Most certainly.
I've never heard that before.
No? Well, now you have, Pip. So, and your favorite word, see you next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ah, no, there was Pip's line.
Hysterical.
So I continue. I see a table where there's a mixture of black people, white people, and Asian people. I call it the United Nations table.
Yeah. Or the Honor Society.
Oh, I didn't think of that. That's a good tip. Yeah. There'd be no black people. No, I'm just kidding.
Remember, folks, who said that?
Hey, I'm running for president.
Usually it's me. But
listen, my friend, you should fucking back me up and say you heard nothing racist there. Fucking die by your president.
Yeah.
So I do some jokes about black people and Jewish people getting along, but black people having advantage over Jewish people. Doing this shit for years. The Jewish people are the butt of the jokes. Like, for instance, let's say black people said all the clothing trends, the baggy jeans, the jerseys, the do-rags. When was the last time you heard somebody say, yo, I want to wear my beanie off to the side? What a biatch.
Mm.
That's what the Jews are the butt of the joke.
Right.
I make a joke about hair. Black people said all the trends. I said white people had the shot. They came up with the mullet. Then I do something with Jews. So I'm talking about all the differences, but the black people are not really the butt of these jokes.
Right.
Are the black people laughing?
Yes.
Because they usually are, because they're usually the ones that don't complain and are having a good time.
Yeah.
So I do I'll do a few political jokes, which go very well. They're very mild. So I still have about 7 minutes to go. I also start goofing on some people,
right.
Like some other people. That's going really well. Like I asked this one girl, beautiful girl, I go, what do you do here? Builder, I built the stage. You know, it was just, you know, plywood. I got... good job. And, you know, I start goofing on that
people
shit.
People are laughing.
People are laughing. They're loving that shit. And that's when I get the, I get the wrap it up sign. And I still had about 7 minutes to go. But I don't know what the fuck happened. But I don't need to make this my HBO special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting told to leave early, which is never good.
Right.
But I'm right. Like, okay, I don't really want to stay much longer anyway. This is fucking hard. So he was supposed to do about 40 minutes. I was supposed to do 20. He was supposed to do...
And the headliner's telling you to wrap it up.
No, somebody from the base was.
Okay.
Somebody from the... because I'll get to that. But okay. Yeah. So the headliner, he's supposed to do about 40. He did about 5 in front of me. I don't know if that counts towards the 40. He did about 17 minutes. Nobody told him to wrap it up. He just... he just cut it short. So apparently while I was up there... apparently while I'm up there... because it's hard. It's a hard fucking gig. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm up there, the colonel was asking some of the higher-ups if there were problems with my jokes. As I'm telling them, here's the thing. You never want to survey in the middle of a comedy show. You can't do fucking comedy that way.
Right.
No.
So apparently there was a problem with me saying the word hooker. The word hooker. Yeah.
Once again, there's an A-10 Warthog 30 feet away that could destroy a city in 13 seconds. They can handle the word hooker.
Pip, what were you going to say?
There was a TV show called TJ Hooker. I think they need to relax.
That's a good point, too. Yeah. But it was a hooker hotel, and they knew exactly what I was talking about because a lot of them had been to that same fucking city. I'm not making this shit up. So I never thought hooker would be for any clean show. I never thought the word
was
hooker.
And look, I'm being a devil's advocate. If this guy's uptight, do you think he might have been upset with Hooker Hotel, thinking that people that are civilians there, or the wives and stuff like that, think that the service people men or the husbands or wives think that their spouses are being put up in hooker hotels when they're overseas?
I'm
thinking as an uptight colonel.
Hey, well, then don't fucking blame me. Blame the people, for the arrangements for where people stay. Don't fucking blame me. I didn't want to stay at the Hooker Hotel. It's a true fucking story. The other issue.
Sergeant McGivey, stay in your lane with this.
I think he was General McGivey.
General Bulldog McGivey.
Yes. General McGivey.
The other issue.
Get him off stage now! Sorry. Thank you. I'm a big fan. Don't worry. Big fan.
And you slipped into Nixon. Very good. McIvey slipped into Nixon.
He's doing that bit the same time.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. The other issue was the black and Jewish jokes. The jokes are about my fucking people.
You're black?
Yes, Joe. No. From the waist down. That old gag.
Not on Facebook. You're Lily White.
Yeah, depends who I'm arguing with. Depends on the day. But again, I never would have suspected that would be too edgy. And the weird thing is, I'm getting the message to back off, and I'm on to something different by the time I'm getting the message. So I have no idea what the fuck is upsetting them.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do a show that way.
Of course, because you're reading off the audience. You're not reading off the guy that's sitting in the wings.
So the political stuff was fine. Me goofing on the audience was fine.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you do a church gig. You everybody out there's having a great time, but the biddy in the back.
You know the difference between a church gig and a military gig?
They don't have guns.
Yes, Joe. They don't have guns. at least not military-grade weapons. Their job is not to kill people in church. Maybe save people, not kill people. Right. So from what I gathered, the show is that the military is now like a college. The last thing anyone wants to deal with is a complaint of anyone being offended. And I pointed out the same irony you've brought up. You know, you're worried about words, but your job is to kill people. That's what you do. Hooker is offensive, but your job is to drop bombs on people.
Once again, there's an A-10 Warthog 30 feet away that could destroy a city in 13 seconds.
But apparently, the word hooker is going to destroy a few sensibilities? That's like, I mean, really, is that where we are?
Yeah.
What? Then just, I've said it before. Just keep the comedy in the comedy clubs. Just fucking stop.
When I was on Don Jameson's show today, we had that conversation about where we are, where we can't, you know, we can't say anything and things are being desensitized. And it's getting to the point where comedy is getting, is going to be at the point where it's so lame, it's destroying the art. And a lot of them are, a lot of these comics in the city, that these woke comics that are, these are offensive and stuff. Like, comedy's supposed to be offensive, okay? Basically, what people do is hang the curtains over bullshit. Comics' job is to rip those curtains down, and somebody's going to be upset because somebody had to hang those curtains.
But we know the rules change at private events. But I don't think the shit I did was so bad.
Yeah. And if you're going up there, you start off in the first five, and you've getting at least 3 to 4 groans, you know.
I got no groans. Occasionally silence, no groans.
Okay, but still, you know, you change it up, but you're working off the audience's reaction, not some colonel that's sitting in the back wings, you know, and you make your adjustments as a comic off the audience consistently. Every 2 minutes, how is this joke working? How is the format working? Should I rearrange? Should I bring something in that's down 30 and bring it up to address? You're constantly making changes based on the audience reaction.
But I'm getting, instead of that, I'm getting reaction to tone it down to shit I said 5 minutes ago, which I have no idea because now I'm in the middle of something that's completely, you know, very mild and everything. It just blew my mind. But
it's too glad that you're not a musician, because when people used to interrupt the Who, Pete Townsend would either smack with his guitar or kick him in the pants off the stage.
Yeah, I don't think he did it at a military base.
No.
So I just thought, you know, I mean, listen, they were very apologetic and everything. They're like, no, it's us. But I was like, because, yeah, listen, I get it that it's different overseas where fucking everything goes.
Yeah.
But it's like, why even bring in this? Why even do it? And like the guy who hired me is like, oh, I thought I told you it's clean. I go, yeah, this shit I did was clean. He goes, yeah, I went over every joke with the colonel the night before, so I pulled a lot of stuff out. First of all, I would never go over my whole set with anybody who hired me. Either you trust me to do what you want or you don't.
When the plumber comes over, take out all your tools. I want to see what you're using. This shit. You hired him to do a job. You can trust him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just such a weird fucking feeling.
You know, and you know what scares me? If the way things are going, I hope we don't have to. Ooh, boo, scary.
AOC is president? go on.
I can't. I gotta mellow out for a second. It's always horrible. But I hope it doesn't get to the point where you have to do that with club owners.
We're at that point. Yeah, you know, listen. I mean, people, there's an audience for edgy, and there's an audience for everything. But we are at the point, we've been at this point for years, where if somebody gets offended, it's all over. It's not that anybody was even offended. It was the fear of military people whose job is to kill people, that a word might offend them. You know what offends me? When somebody's insides are on the outside. That kind of offends me. Yeah. When I look down, there's a bunch of intestines all over the place. I'm like, listen, he might have deserved it, but clean this mess up. Yeah. I'm offended.
I mean, if they get an order to go into a city, an enemy city, are they worried about getting shot at, or is somebody saying something that's going to hurt their feelings?
Well, words are half power, Joe.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, they were very nice. It was just, I felt bad. I go, well, listen, I hope you understand. I came here, I wanted to entertain you. I go, I guess there was a misunderstanding, but, you know, like, I said, listen, this is stuff, the stuff I did is a TV set. You would see this stuff on TV. Listen, are there comics who can do a cleaner? Yes, they are. Then fucking hire them, I guess. I don't know.
You know, the guy said something that's key, where you might want to make a decision on, you know, if you take a gig, where it's like, well, bases are like colleges now.
No, he didn't say that. I said that.
Oh, okay.
I said that because where nobody wants to get it. You know, we've gone on a couple times, you know, that you can't say shit at colleges now. But you go, all right, well, that's the kids. This guy was 42, the colonel.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the audience was younger, but they were cool with it. You know, some things they kind of pulled back on. But I can read that type of shit.
Yeah.
But you know what? If we can't say words to people who could fucking kill you by pressing a button, then let's just pack it up and go home. Let's just fucking end it already.
Yeah.
Let's stop with the comedy. Let's stop with the edgy music. We'll all play Muzak in the elevators. We'll all hum along, and let's call it a fucking day. Enough.
Yeah.
I actually think that you should be in trouble for giving away military secrets, because you just told the enemy that they could be felled by the word hooker.
Very funny, Bill.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, I like I said, once again, I was having the conversation today on Don Jameson's show.
Traitor.
I'm back home. But but I just see, I can't write, I write observational. I write the things in my life that I need to speak out on. I can't go up there and do some homogenized shit.
That's what they want. They want homogenized shit. Yeah. Ask for it by name.
Well, like I said, there was a gig Fragile Sky was playing last year. We were playing in Brooklyn, hipster town, in a hipster area. And there was a comedy show that was across the street. And I went next. I had some time to kill. I'm watching the show for about 30 minutes or so. And I smiled once. And I was very objective. I'm not going in there to have a puss, man. I want to hear bits and what people are writing and stuff like that. It was all this story, homogenized shit. And the thing about it was, is I'm sitting there going, you usually go, you know, I could go up there right now and destroy this place. And I go, I would go up there and I would be run out of town on a rail because, oh, you're a mean, hurtful man.
You know what's funny? You're too nasty and unauthentic for that audience, but you're not nasty and authentic enough for Anthony's audience. You poor motherfucker caught in the middle. You're like me in politics.
Oh, boy, on Reddit? Holy shit.
I mean, for that audience, he's a mean man. For the Anthony, oh, he's boring. Why does he have?
Oh, the crew on Red, utterly forgettable, and but we were laughing about it.
All right, let's take our first break. On the first break, we got new music from Mick O'Regan with The Sun Shines Bright and Divas Nation with None of Your Business. You can learn more about both of them at deucemusic.com. We'll come back. We got a lot of blackface to talk about. Why are we still talking about this in 2019? I don't know. Whitey won't learn. A festival that's going to cost you more if you're a white man like me. And Bagel Boss, because apparently everybody needs to talk about him. So we'll do that. We got more afterwards. Don't go anywhere.